Dr. Kasari, how are you today?
Good. Hello.
Physician scientist Dr. Santosh Kasari, brain oncologist, with the recent passing of David Bowie, Alan Rickman, and so many others last month alone to cancer, along with Vice President Joe Biden's announcement that he is searching for a cure. There is a relevant topic. This is a relevant topic as cancer has affected everyone in some form or another. Dr. Kasari, cancer, I mean, there are more people in the world, obviously, more people in the United States. There are more incidences of cancer, but percentages, how have the percentages changed over the past, say, 50 years?
Well, I think with the aging population, cancer is actually increasing because it's one of the things that happen as we age, as our cells degenerate, our immune system is unable to clear cancer cells that are developing in every one of us as cells divide to replace each organ.
That makes total sense. Doctor, I have to tell you, and you probably heard this before, but you sound like you're about 14 years old, so you must have gone to college very young.
Well, I've been working very hard, but...
that was a compliment, by the way.
Yes. Thank you.
I've
been in the field for about 20 years and actually focused on brain cancer from college, working with various cancer labs. And then my MD, PhD degrees was actually focused around using viruses for brain cancer. Very innovative back then, about 20 years ago. And it actually, as you might have heard, the first virus, the same virus that I worked on, is approved as a melanoma treatment last fall. So I think, you know, there's a lot of innovation that's happening in cancer, particularly in the last 5 years, with basically safer drugs and also utilizing your own immune system to attack the cancer.
Now, Dr. Kasari, from what I've always heard, the brain has no nerve sensitivity. How do you tell... Are there any early signs you may have brain cancer, actually?
That's a very good question. You know, the reality is we detect brain cancer at a very late stage. Part of the problem is that, as you just mentioned, there's no nerves in the brain. So and some of these tumors can be slow growing for months or years even. And so when it's slowly growing, you don't really feel it. And patients develop, your brain can adjust so that you don't have too many symptoms, or they can be subtle, like memory loss.
Right.
So people think they're stressed out or depressed or have dementia. And so it can go missed for quite a bit of time. If a tumor grows fast, then you get headaches and things like that due to the surface of the brain, which does have nerve endings when you get increased pressure in the brain.
You know, Dr. Kasari, that's not good news for me because I have every one of those symptoms on a daily basis. I get headaches quite a bit. I get a lot of tension headaches. So there's no question about it. But I'm 64 years old now, and I have a cold, by the way. That's why I sound like I've been singing all night, but I actually caught a cold. Every time I fly now, it seems like I get a cold, by the way. But in any case, I get headaches. They're tension headaches more than anything else, I'm sure. But I had a magnificent memory when I was in my teens, 20s, and basically all the way through my 40s, where I could remember everything. I could give someone a calculator and let them use it, and I could beat them in an equation every single time. I'm now 64, and I can't do that any longer, and it really bothers me. So whether it's memory loss or attention headaches or all the things you named, how do I... I suppose the only way I could make sure that there's very little cancer on either side of my family, my mother's family and my father's family. My family tends to, on both sides, live to be very, very old, except for my father died young because he was a smoker. So he died of not lung cancer, but...
COPD.
It wasn't called COPD
emphysema.
Then.
What was
it? Emphysema. There you go. Yeah. That's what he died of. But I think a lot of people now, because of the internet, and you could probably straighten this out for me, a lot of people hop on the internet and self-diagnose, and I think that's got to be a really bad idea, doctor, I would think.
Yes. I think, you know, there's too much information on the internet these days, and it's very easy to self-diagnose and misdiagnose yourself. Obviously, headaches every one of us has it at some point in their life, and it's a common symptom. And I think what the things to worry about are really headaches that don't go away or that get worse over time, or were associated with new symptoms such as dizziness or double vision or sensory problems or, you know, weakness. So I think if there's a change in the intensity or other symptomatology, you want to definitely get that evaluated and see a doctor.
That would make sense. Yeah, absolutely. Is there, I just mentioned smoking and lung cancer, emphysema, COPD, those things. Are there any distinct causes of brain cancer?
At this point in time, for most brain tumors, it's just essentially an aging-related problem and bad luck. You know, kids get brain cancer as well as older adults, and obviously there's in between as well. So it's one of these diseases that spans the full age spectrum, and there are different types of tumors that occur at each age group. Some of them are genetic. There are some patients who have a tendency based on their genetics to get it. It's a small population, and some of them are related to a common disease called neurofibromatosis that is actually very common. These are usually slow-growing skin tumors or nerve tumors, and some of those patients, because of the genetics, end up getting the more malignant brain tumors. As well, there are other patients that that have a mutation in one of the common genes called P53, and they tend to have multiple different types of cancers, breast, colon, et cetera, as well as brain tumors. And there's usually a strong family history in the genetic, the patients that have a genetic predisposition tend to have that family history of multiple family members across multiple generations that have various different types of cancers. But for brain tumors, really, most of it is really sporadic or, you know, bad luck and age-related. As the population in the U.S. and around the world increases, we're going to see more of these. The other types of brain tumor is actually what's called metastatic brain cancer. So we're seeing an increase of that for sure with lung and breast and even gastrointestinal GI cancers because there's been a lot of effort of developing new drugs for those cancers. We're actually doing a much better job of controlling the disease in the lung, breast, and colon. And what we're seeing is the drugs, these same drugs, although they're effective below the neck, they don't get into the brain. And what we're seeing is patients are living longer and developing cancer in the brain from these other organs. So that population of patients is actually growing, and we're seeing more and more melanoma, lung, and breast in the brain. And it's really a huge unmet need that we need to figure out how to get rid of the cells in the brain.
Dr. Kasari, in your opinion, the way life has changed for people, genetically modified organisms, there's talk that those are very, very bad for you. The use of pesticides, things like that across the board. Is it your belief that these things may be affecting cancer or may be causing cancer in the human body?
I think they may be contributing. There's this whole improved ability to understand those sort of hard to sort of study factors. You know, there's been obviously a boom in the technology in the last 5-10 years of using genomic sequencing, where we can get the sequence of your whole genome, you know, within a few hours, and analyze that data with all the computational power that we have. And so what we're finding out, every individual is a microenvironment, meaning we have bacteria in our skin, in our mucosal surfaces, in the nose, in the mouth, and actually in the gut. And that flora, those organisms that live within us, some of them are healthy and some of them are bad. And so there's been an explosion in the last 5 years of trying to understand how diet, how things affect the microflora in your body, which also impact on obesity, on cardiovascular disease, inflammation throughout the body, and possibly, you know, cancer predisposition. Certainly there are some cancers that are, we know there's a clear association with viruses and bacteria. One of them is a gut bacteria or a stomach bacteria called Helicobacter pylori that won a Nobel Prize a decade or so ago that showed that that bacteria essentially led to stomach cancers, and we now get rid of it and screen for it whenever patients have symptoms. Obviously, HPV, human papillomavirus, is associated with cervical cancer, head and neck cancer. So we're learning that the environment in our body, the foods that we eat, the microorganisms that we interact with can have profound effects on a variety of diseases, including the development of cancer.
You know, I really enjoy it, by the way, a doctor of your stature, and I've heard it before, and I have friends, very, very good doctors. But a doctor of your stature saying, you know, your gut, I like that. You know, it's just a good word. I like the word across the board. People, I'm assuming, well, people are living a lot longer than they used to. As an example, I was watching the movie The Grapes of Wrath, and they're riding in the back of the pickup truck, and one of the sons turns to the other and says, you know, Mom's gotten very, very old. She doesn't have long now. You know, you have to realize she is 55. And I thought, I think life has changed quite a bit in the last 75 years, that when you were 55, you were considered quite elderly and ready to go at any moment. So the strides that have been made in medicine are just fascinating, and they're wonderful. Obviously, we have a son, 29, and our daughter, 27 years old, and it makes me very happy that people like you exist, because they can live much longer lives than previous generations. And I want to thank you for that. That's terrific. Makes me
Absolutely.
As a father feel
and,
great.
You know, we obviously have a ways to go in terms of improving, you know, everyone's quality of life and aging healthy, so to speak. Obviously, some of them are related to bad habits that we have, but others can be prevented. And I think knowledge of our environment and what's good and what's bad for our bodies is going to play an important role in that. And I think, you know, with the new explosion in technology, including even iPhones and, you know, Fitbits and things like that, can really sort of empower us with having knowledge at our fingertips so that we can make really better decisions with obviously good sources of information. As you mentioned, when you go on the internet, you'll find all kinds of stuff that's not really true. And you have to go to the reliable sources, validated sources, for that information. But I think, you know, the whole trend is to move towards that way. And I think, you know, the goal is for us to not all live till 100 without any, you know, dementia or cardiovascular problems.
Right.
And I think it can be done, you know, because a lot of stuff is environmental related.
You know, I want to tell you a closing story, and it's to honor people like you. I have a very close friend who lost a son at 9 years old to brain cancer. And sitting him and listening to him tell the story of his last moments with his young son, who died at 9, in his arms, and he said, you can go now, son. And just not having to go through that, I just want to thank people and people like you for the wonderful work that you do. It's miraculous to me, doctor, I'll tell you that. And thank you again for your work.
Well, Tom, thank you. And I want to let you know that, you know, with regards to brain tumors, we're very dedicated to finding a cure in the next 5-10 years. And my aunt died of a glioblastoma 3 years ago, actually. So, you know, although I've been in this field for almost 20 years, the fact that I see patients every week and many of them die, the fact that I've had a family member involved, I think this is the time to really push forward. And now with the whole, you know, effort with the Senator, Vice President Biden, I think now is the time to really focus on brain tumors and to really put all of our heads together and getting a highly effective, safe treatment for our patients.
Are there any forms of cancer for which the survival rate has not gone up in the past 30 years?
I think everything's obviously made progress, especially in breast and lung, being the most important ones. But even in the liquid cancers, leukemias, lymphomas have made tremendous progress. We've made progress even in brain tumors. It hasn't been a big jump up like some of these other cancers, but we had made progress there. And the other one is really pancreatic and liver cancers and things like that. Bile duct cancers have made very little progress, but, you know, little steps have been made. I think, in terms of brain tumors, you know, one of the problems we've had for the past decades has been most of the drugs don't get into the brain. And I think, that focus hasn't been there because most companies, when they develop a drug, try not to get it into the brain because they're worried about side effects. And so only in the last few years have people focused on brain tumors and really making drugs that get through the blood-brain barrier or that attack the tumor blood vessels, which is inside the blood-brain barrier, so that we can make a better impact.
It is magnificent. Dr. Kasari, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Have a good day, sir.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Santosh Kasari,